So let's continue doing some inyanim on the Seder. A lot of things I'm going to tell you today are very short, okay? Short little ideas. I just want to finish up with where we're up to. We are up to opening the door. We open the door at the end of the Seder. We invite in Eliyahu Hanavi to greet us. Okay. I always have a tendency, when we open up the door and go outside, to say Kiddush Levana. when do you leave the house to say a tefillah? Kiddush Levana, right? So you have to make sure you don't forget that it's Pesach, it's not Mitzvah Shabbos, and it's not the time to say Kiddush Levana.
I like to add in the part that the Maharal version.
Into the Shechem Aschel? I'm not aware. Ace Eliyahu Hanavi. Right, there's a famous story with a rebbe, one of the big Gedolei Yisrael. He would imagine that he's escorting Eliyahu Hanavi into his home and to drink from the kosher Eliyahu and then to escort him out. And they said to him, "Did you actually see Eliyahu Hanavi?" So he said, "No, I didn't see Eliyahu Hanavi. But I have emunah. Chazal tell us that Eliyahu Hanavi comes to the Seder to be toyin from the fifth kais. I have emunah that Eliyahu Hanavi has come, and in fact, the emunah is greater than actually seeing him. It's a higher level to have emunah pshuta that Eliyahu Hanavi has come to the Seder than to actually see Eliyahu Hanavi come to the Seder, because."
Well, if you see him, there's no
emunah. Exactly, because that's what the Seder is all about. The Seder, the tafel of the Seder is to have emunah. And one of the fundamental principles of emunah is, in the Animan, emunah shebevias and shevyapi sheyis mame imkol zehachagle b'chol yom sheyavoy, it's in the Bias HaMashiach. And this is something that we challenge ourselves. When we come to the end of the Seder, you have to look at the end of the Seder as being a challenge. You test yourself. Take a course in college. In order to get your degree, you have to be tested. Do you really absorb, know the material? When the Seder is over, we test ourselves. The whole Seder, we're sitting and we're knocking away. We're teaching the children about Emunah, Avraham Avinu, the Avos, Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Makos, the Flos. So now, let me ask you, do you really believe? Do you really believe? What's the litmus test? I mean, what Mashaya Kvar Haya? Yitzias Mitzrayim already happened. We already have the Torah. We're already here. What lesson is there to take from the whole story of the Exodus in Emunah to apply forward? Well, do you really believe Mashiach is coming? Do you really believe Eliyahu HaNavi is coming into your home to Mevaser, Beseros, Tavos, Yeshuas, Nechamos? Do you really believe this? This is the time when you open the door to reflect, to test yourself. How much do I really believe? Or how much is this just smoke and mirrors?
My youngest son was about 9, 10 years old. So we had, for some reason, it got a little less, the kosher Eliyahu. And then he looked at it. He couldn't convince him. He said, Eliyahu came.
I remember when my parents were alive and my sister came. She was and just got married. They had a child. So my niece was very, very little. And they kept on pumping her up. Eliyahu HaNavi is coming, he's coming, Eliyahu HaNavi is coming. They told us in the yeshiva. And then, finally, the moment of truth has come. We open the door, we go to Shulchan Aruch HaMoscha, and she's sitting inside. And we come back, close the door, and she burst out crying. It was the biggest shock. I never saw something like this in my life. She burst out in bitter tears. You lied to me. Where is he? Where is, you told me all this time, Eliyahu HaNavi is coming out to the Seder. Open the door, you close the door, he didn't come.
He had a little wine there next time.
and it's very frightening. It's very frightening. The innocence of a child. Innocence of a child of Eliyahu HaNavi. It's a, what? It's a good thing, obviously. It's a good thing, but you know, you talk to a child psychologist. I wonder what a child psychologist would say about this. Okay, you say the child bursts out. You make the child believe all the way from Purim time. You start teaching them in cheder, and the child, mama, she brainwashed the kid. The Eliyahu HaNavi is coming, and then guess what? He doesn't show up, and the kid breaks out crying. So what would a psychologist say and what would a rabbi say? It's something to think about. It's something to think about. Who did it right? Who got it right and who got it wrong? Okay, so this now next let's talk about for a brief moment of the fifth kais, the kais shel Elio. There are many minhagim as exactly when we once I remember last year I vaguely remember we had a shiur, an entire shiur just on the kais shel Eliyahu. Let's review a few of the Rashi Parakim. When do we fill up the kais shel Eliyahu? There are so many minhagim. Yes. Some have the custom to fill up at the beginning of the Seder. Would you believe it? The beginning of the Seder is the kais shel Eliyahu, and it sits there the entire Seder, all the way to the beginning to the very end. You don't touch until the very until Seder is over. You pour back into the bottle. You do whatever you want with it. It has to remain on the table the entire Seder. Others have the minhag. Oh, you pour the kais shel Eliyahu now, after you finish the birchas hamazon. You now, for the very first time, you fill the kais shel Eliyahu. And you let it sit on the table until the end of the seder, then you can pour back into the bottle. Some have the custom that the kais shel Eliyahu itself is filled up through the shirayim of everyone else's kais. In other words, the first kais, kiddush, lechatchila is supposed to drink the entire kais, but not everyone drinks the entire kais. So by the time you come to the second kais, the wine inside is it's warm. It's not cold. It's not. You know, you're putting your pinky into it and spilling out whatever. Oh no, that's the second kais already. Whatever it is, the second kais. When you finish drinking the kais, whatever you got left in the kais, everyone pours into the kais shel Eliyahu. And the kais shel Eliyahu is filled up through the shirayim of the kais rishon, the kais sheni, and the kais shel birchas hamazon. Now, you'll ask, what a bizarre. That's what you give Eliyahu Hanavi. Give them leftovers. It's also pogrom. It's pogrom. You've drunk it from that wine. Okay, that's a topic of discussion. Some hold adraba. This itself is a very big hiddur. Eliyahu comes from the shirayim, from our kedusha. By us being mekadesh, Pesach. By us reflecting upon Yitzias Mitzrayim. By us being makir toiv to the Ribbono Shel Olam b'Birchas Hamazon. It's through this koyach we bring Eliyahu Hanavi. Adrabah v'adrabah, this is the biggest koyach Eliyahu Hanavi, to drink from the shirayim from our three koyaches. That is one very interesting minut. Okay, maybe some, I never saw it done, never heard it being done, but that's brought down in all of the svarim that discuss koyach Eliyahu. This is a very interesting way to fill up the koyach shel Eliyahu. Other people, I know this is what we did, my father did, is very similar. As it comes to the koyach shlishi, after Birchas Hamazon, you do not fill up the koyach revi. You finish Birchas Hamazon, you fill up the Kais Shel Eliyahu in the center of the table, large, massive cup, Kais Shel Eliyahu, and then you go open the door, Shveich HaMaska, you come back in, and then you take from the Kais Shel Eliyahu, and you use it to fill up a little bit the Kais Revi for everyone at the Seder. You give everyone a little bit from the Kais Shel Eliyahu, and then you mash them with the wine. So everyone should be toyim from the shirayim of the kais shel Eliyahu. It's just the opposite. Instead of you giving Eliyahu your shirayim, we drink from the shirayim of the kais shel Eliyahu for our fourth cup. The other minuk, which is a chassidus minuk, in fact, they say this is the nicest thing that took place in Chabad with the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And in fact, I think they say that all the chassidim came from their seder to witness this, is... And all chassidim do this, and is that the kais shel Eliyahu is the kais chamishi. It turns into the kais chamishi, and after you finish, you divide halal into two parts. Like after you finish Birchas Hamazon, you recite halal. So you divide the halal into two parts. You say the mizmorim of halal, and then you drink the kais revi'i, and then before you do the hoidu l'Hashem kitov ki liolam chassid, the 26 hoidus and nishmas v'makalois and yishtabach, that you conclude with the bracha on the kais shel, the kais chamishi, the kais shel Eliyahu. So basically, kais shel Eliyahu becomes the kais chamishi, the fifth kais.
They make a bracha?
What?
They make a bracha.
So you do not make a bracha. It could be there are opinions that hold you do make a bracha, but halacha l'maisa, the way I saw it brought down, is you do not make a bracha. You do not make a bracha. No, you ain't masifin, not so pa'im masifin. Okay, you're right, that's a discussion. Between three and four, but it becomes, you break up the halal into two parts, and this becomes the kais chamishi. You make only one bracha borei priagofen on the kais revi, with kavana that bori priagofen should also be halal on the kais Chamishi, and then the Kais Chamishi, when you finish the Halal, then you drink the Kais Chamishi. Now, in some communities, everyone does this. Everyone, every member of the Seder that does this has the Kais Chamishi, the Kais Shaliyo. Everyone has their own Kais Shaliyo, and everyone's Kais Shaliyo turns into the Kais Chamishi. It's very, very rare. It's very rare. Among Hasidim, Admarim, what it appears is only the Admar. Only the Admar is the one who drinks the Kais Chamishi. Every family, every individual, you don't have a right to go drink a Kais Chamishi. The Admar, if you're a Rebbe, you have a Hasidim. That's the real litmus test if you're a Rebbe. The way you can tell a person if he's a Rebbe, if he drinks the Kais Chamishi, that means he has Hasidim. He represents a group of people. And in fact, the Hasidim come to the his Seder to witness the Rebbe drink from the Kais Chamishi. They say that the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he drank the Kais Chamishi, and the Hasidim came to Fabreng with the Rebbe leading up to the drinking of the Kais Chamishi. It was on the table, they would sing, and they would be in this Oirer, the different Torahs, in order cover the Kais Chamishi, and the end the Rebbe drank the Kais Chamishi. That's what I remember hearing, and they say it was something to witness, something to watch. It was something spectacular. Now, I have to also understand the Kais Chamishi, I'm not saying anything negative here, don't get me wrong, is also the Kais of Mashiach. Because Eliyahu, it's really Eliyahu Hanavi, Hineh Anochi, Shalech Lechem Eis, Eliyahu Hanavi, Lifnei Bo Yom HaShemagov HaNoira. So therefore, it's the Kais which bleeds into the coming of Mashiach. So, I mean, it fits very well into the some of the ideas of Chabad. Chabad was very into, you bring Mashiach. What? There's a controversy. Did the Maral drink the Kais Chamishi?
Well, the
legend is he did. The legend is that the Maral was very into the Kais Chamishi and he drank the Kais Chamishi. However, eyewitness accounts tell us lohayev le'nivra, no such thing. The Maral did not. The Maral did not, on any condition, under any situation, drink the Kais. That's a very big controversy. If the Maral, what was his opinion regarding in his writings? He's very into the Kais Chamishi, but did he actually drink it? That is a very interesting shayla to drink. I saw it in the Brayis in Arab Sachem. It says lohayev chois loy me arba kaisas. Don't have less than 4 cups. According to one opinion of the Gemara, you're supposed to have 5 cups. Yilchatchila k'neged the pasuk of vehevesi, vehevesi coming into Eretz Yisrael. That some want to say that's why it's called Kais Chamishi. It's a suffix. Eliyahu Hanavi will answer. Tishbi teku. Tishbi yitaretz kushios ve'abayos. Tishbi will tell us the halacha. Should we drink a Kais Chamishi? Should we not drink a Kais Chamishi? So therefore, we call it the Kais Shel Eliyahu. We're waiting for Eliyahu Hanavi to come and resolve the halacha. Should we drink? Should we not drink? Yeah.
He never went to Eretz
Yisrael. Okay, but it represents Mashiach. Mashiach is Vehevesi. Now, just going back on that point, you made a very good point. There's a very big difficulty. Why don't we focus on Vehevesi in the Haggadah? It's part of the Lashon. The answer is the only thing that did not take place at that night is Vehevesi. The night of Lel Pesach, 4 things happened. Vehevesi, Vitzalti, Vigualti, Vilakachti. But Vehevesi took place 40 years later.
Right.
Vehevesi did not take place, so therefore Vehevesi really does not belong. Seret Pasul does not belong. On the other hand, there's an interesting halacha. This is a fascinating idea. Let's say a person has his own slaves. You own a slave. And the slave runs away. So if you're living in New York, and the slave living in the south, and the slave runs to the north, right? And you go to the north, and you find the slave hiding away somewhere, and you take him down to the south. That's it. He comes back with you down to the south. Let's say he goes to Canada, you'll bring him back to America. He goes across the ocean, you'll take him across the ocean, you'll take him back to America, you'll take him back to wherever he came from. But if the slave escapes to Eretz Yisrael, if he sets foot, if he puts his feet on the Holy Land, nifka hashibud. You're not allowed anymore to take him back to where he came from. Mimela, when we left Mitzrayim, we're avodim. Avodim hayinu lefarim b'Mitzrayim. We're slaves. With slaves. If we're in the Midbar 40 years, if Paro technically, halachically, would capture us for 40 years in the Midbar, 39 years and 364 days, Paro would chap us on that very last day. You're coming with me, boys. You're coming back to Egypt. You're my property. And if we'll take you to a Din Torah, Okay, we're going to go to the Bezin HaGadol. The Bezin would paskin that Paro wins. The Paro would forcefully take us back to Mitzrayim even after 39 years, 0.999, we would lose the Din Torah. We would have to be slaves back in Eretz Yisrael. But once we set foot in Eretz Yisrael, oh, that's the halacha, Shulchan Aruch, Nifka HaShibud, we're no longer slaves. We no longer can technically go back to the land of Egypt. So it's very, very fascinating is that all four, the Yitzesi, the Yitzalti, the Goalti, the Lekach, they're totally v'oimei. They're not complete. It's weak. They're shvach. It's rafuf. We need the Hevesi more than we need the other four in order to seal the deal, to close the deal that we are mufka, we are mamish b'nei chayrin. So the Hevesi is a very significant lashon of Geula. Koshel Yahu is not something you play Pashkul with because Koshel Yahu does indeed represent the Hevesi. Whether you're going to drink it or not going to drink it, you're going to be an Admar or not going to be an Admar and go through all this Torah, but you have to understand when you put on the Kais, we have the Minig, is the Koshel Yahu is Mechudar. It's magnificent, it's large. It's because the Kodesh Aliyah represents the Hevesi, and we need this Hevesi, whether we like it or not, even though it did not indeed happen, the little Seder, in order for us to be Mufka from the Shibud of Mitzrayim. Now, Al Derech Remez and Drush and the Kabbalah, I'm sure we have to just mention in passing, not fair, is the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel, who says that the Lel Pesach, we also had Hevesi. Hashem took us v'esa eschem al kanfei nisharim v'havi eschem eloi. The Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says that Hashem picked up the entire Klal Yisrael on the kanfei nisharim, brought them to Yerushalayim, to Yitikar and Pesach, and brought them back. Okay, that's very mystical what that means, physically impossible what that means, but that's what it says in the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. According to him, indeed, this already was this nishlam, bo bayom, on the night of Pesach, we did not have to wait 40 days. Okay, you have to take that, understand that what it means. Okay, so these are some of the beautiful things.
That means even Moshe Rabbeinu went in there.
Yeah. Okay. Obviously, these are different. These are not simple things to me. Okay, let's go back to a simple one. And I saw some things I saw. I'm telling you from Rabbi Shur. This is an unbelievable agada. Unbelievable chidushim. Rabbi Shur is a brilliant, brilliant mind. And some of the things he says here, some of the beautiful things say this. One short little idea I saw is Chasal Sidur Pesach Kehil Chasai. By the way, before we go into Drush, where does this come from, this Nusach? How do we translate this? How do we translate it by the Seder? Just like we were Zoyche this year, Lesader, to arrange the Pesach, we have the Seder with the 15 Simonim. Keniske la soisei. When? This year? No, it's impossible. It's already past the, if you're at the Seder, and you didn't bring the Karban Pesach, Erev Yom Tov, it's it. It's not going to happen this year. Halachically, it's impossible. So Pesach Sheni? No, not really either, because Pesach Sheni is only for Yechidim. It's not for Klal Yisrael. You want to say Chiddush, that if the whole Klal Yisrael doesn't do it, that's not Mestader.
When you had the
first time. So it's so when you say Kasher Zochinu L'Sadeh Kein Niske La Soisai, you're asking Hashem for another year of life. Okay, that's you take a whole year to have another opportunity La Soisai. Why last night? So he says there is a simple drush. Seder, the Torah is divided into four different groups: pshat, remez, drush, soid. Okay, so I don't really know. Pshat is pshat. I don't know. Remez, drush, soid. I don't know. Whatever they are. But four different branches of Torah: pshat, remez, drush, soid. Notice that Seder has three of those letters. Seder is soid, samach. Dalet is remez. And Reish Dalet is Drush, and Reish is Remes. What is missing? Pshat. So, the Seder, there is no Pshat. There's no Pshat. Everything is mystical. But on a simpler level, Pshat means Lamaisa. What does Pshat mean? This simple translation. Pshat is synonymous with Asiya. To do it, to do what it says. So he says much. It has beautiful meaning. Kasher zochinu l'sader oisai. Just as this year we were zoicha to the seder, to the drush, the remesh, and the soid, but unfortunately this year we were not zoicha to the pshat. We were not able to fulfill what it says in the Torah. Va'amartem zevach pesach chul Hashem. Pesach zu she'onu oichlim al shumah. Pshubishol migra. Kochel tochel oisai. Al matzois umirorim yochlu. You eat the matzah morah with Pesach. I mean, go to the whole Haggadah. Are you fulfilling what it says in the Haggadah derech pshat? No. You're only fulfilling what it says in the Haggadah with all the notebooks. All of the grandchildren. They're telling you, remes, durosh soy, but you're not doing it lamaisa. So that's a very beautiful meaning, the bracha, kasher zachinu l'sader, just as this year we zeicha to the drush, the remes and the sot, halavai, next year we should be zeicha to pshat. We should be zoicher to do pshuta lifi mikra. That's a very powerful Musa b'chlal for life. Halavai in life, we should just do what we're supposed to do. Forget about doing all the things, all of the bells and whistles. Unfortunately, we lose perspective on what is real, what's not real, what's important, what's not important. The last time of the Haggadah itself is a very powerful limit on Musa in life. Is taka w'zoicher in America to the pshat, the remesh, and drush of yados. But unfortunately, the pshat, loy sigzol, the simple pshat of loy sigzol, are we zeichet too? We know many, there are hundreds of svarim telling us all the remozim of loy sigzol. Are you zeichet the pshat, loy sigzol, loy tinof, okay, loy sachnoit. Halavai, we should be zeichet la soysay to the pshat in the Torah and not focus on all of the deeper meanings. Let's start with the basics. I embellish what he said quite a bit. But the roots of what he says, well, the root of what he said is in here, is in Rabbi Ram Shua, I just said. Okay. Let's go to another quick idea. Let's see. Pull out of the hat. I wrote this in order, so I wanted to go follow a certain Seder. Okay, here we go.
No pun intended.
No pun intended. Okay. I don't even know what this means. I have no clue what I wrote over here. Okay, let's go backwards now to Dayenu. So a very nice word about Dayenu. Dayenu is a fascinating piyut. There are 15 milos. Kama milos lamokam aleinu. 15 different chasodim Hashem has done for us. Very selective. How many chassadim? You can probably, if you want to list chassadim, you can probably list a million chassadim. Okay, whatever. I don't know the answer why particularly these 15 chassadim, but just some things I came across. First, important you said about the Yenu is broken up into three parts. It's 5, 5, 5. The first 5 is the actual Yitzia Mimitzrayim. Let me give you a moment to turn to the correct page. The second part is miracles. Miracles. And the third part are inyone kedusha. Let me run through. First 5 things are hotzion mitzrayim, also vachem shifatim. Hashem took us out of Egypt. Hashem judged them. Hashem punished the Egyptians. Also beloheim, he killed their gods. Harag bichoreihem and nasan lanu es memoina. Okay, so these are 5 things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, physical things that Hashem did to the Egyptians, or basically our redemption. We were redeemed, we were extracted, they were punished, their gods were destroyed to smithereens, their firstborns were killed, and we took possession of all of their property. This just represents the basic story of the Exodus. The next 5 things are all miracles. Now, doesn't mean that the first 5 were not miracles. The first 5 were miracles, but it was a different focus. It was a miracle just to get us out of there. Just get out of there. The next miracles were bonuses.
Stage 2.
The next miracles are all luxuries. Hashem didn't need to do these miracles. Hashem could have taken us into Eretz Yisrael immediately. Hashem did not need to take us to the desert and come onto the Mon, the Be'er, and the Nani Akavod. Hashem could have taken us Derech Eretz Polishtim. There will be a war, like a Purim war. It will be Lamala, it will be Derech Teva. We'll win Al Derech Teva, even though really there's nothing called Derech Teva. And we'll come into Eretz Yisrael. But yet Hashem did for us Mifsin. Okay, Karlanu Es Hayam. Have you run a besocho becharava? Shikat sorenu besoichai, sibik sochin bamidbar bamshona, hechlenu es haman. Okay, so these are the next 5 things which were miracles of our survival, miraculous survival. And the next 5 things are spiritual gifts which are timeless. It's not just at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Shabbos, Har Sinai, Torah and Eretz Yisrael and Beis HaBechira, Beis HaMikdash. So it's kedai to be aware that the Dayenu is broken up into 5, 5, 5. There are 15 parts to the Dayenu, 5, 5, 5. Now, each one, we progress. Now, next thing, the next interesting thing about Dayenu is the Rambam in his Haggadah does not bring down Dayenu. Would you believe it? Dayenu, the Rambam didn't sing Dayenu. What kind of Jew was the Rambam? How could the Rambam, how could we study the Rambam? We have to challenge all the briskers. All the briskers have to be a challenge. What kind of brisker are you? The Rambam did not bring down Dayenu. So who is this kasha to the Rambam? The Rambam's son, the famous Rav Avraham ben Harambam, asked this question to his father. Father, why did you not list in the Yad HaChazaka, in the Seder Haggadah, Dayenu? What kind of father doesn't sing Dayenu with his son? So the Rambam gave him an incredible answer. This answer, you could probably write a whole encyclopedia to explain what the Rambam said. So the Rambam says, I only wrote in the Yad HaChazaka, Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. I did not include in the Haggadah the din of Kol Hamarbel L'Saper. So the Rambam is saying an incredible chiddush. The Rambam, Mr. Rav Avraham, and the Rambam tells us from his Rambam, there are Tzvei Dinim in Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. There's Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, and then there's a Chazal, the Chol Hamarbel L'Saper B'Yitzias Mitzrayim, Harezem Meshubach. That's a whole different din. This Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. We always talk about it. We don't even talk about it. We call it Marv. We just focus on Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Rambam taught us in a very clever way the essence of Dayenu is a different Madrega. It is a fulfillment of Hamarbel L'Saper. Now, he doesn't explain what that means.
This makes just the sense, just the opposite.
What do you mean?
There's a mitzvah of Laharbor.
Yeah.
When you say Dayenu, means I don't want to say anymore. It's enough, I think.
No, it's enough. Right? Oh, so you're saying very.
It's enough.
So you're saying very good. You're saying something very profound. Ein nochanami. This, as I told you, there is a lot. There's a lot to learn to delve into here. If the Rambam is teaching us, the Rambam knew the Peter of Dayenu, Rav Avraham ben Rambam asked his father, what's with Dayenu? Obviously the Rambam had the whole Dayenu. He had the Dayenu. He knew word for word Dayenu. And yet the Rambam is saying, oh, Dayenu is Hamarbe. Wow. So now we have a whole blueprint, a whole Shulchan Aruch to Fataych. What is Hamarbe? Start with your idea. I didn't think of this. Dayenu means enough. It would have been enough. Day is enough. Marbe is... No, more. It's not enough. It's not enough. But that's really what we're doing. We're specifically using the Dayenu to say it would have been enough, but we want more, 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 more. So you're right. It really answers the question. That's why the word Dayenu is the perfect word for this piyut, being that this piyut is hamarbe. The way you say marbe is it would have been Dayenu, but yet Hashem, you gave us more, 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 more. You say Dayenu 15 times. Number two. What do we do at the end of Dayenu? Okay, this is very interesting. At the end of Dayenu, we repeat. It's repetition. After we go through the 15 steps, we then, let's review. Alachas, kama, v'chama, toiva, kufulim, v'chapelis, l'makam, aleinu, and we review every single one of the steps. Shahid, siyem, v'mitzrayim, v'asalanu, v'shvat, v'asovelo, heyhem, v'yareges, b'choreim, v'asalanu, v'asalanu, v'chulu, v'chulu, but there's an addition. After enumerating all the 15 things, we add one more line. And what is that? L'chaper, Al kol avoy noisenu. That is not part of the original Dayenu. When we go step by step, there is no mention of kapara al kol avoy noisenu. So question number one is, why bother? Why do you need the whole paragraph? You didn't say it enough times. You didn't say Dayenu a million times. You have to nochamo, chaz the whole thing. What do you need this for? And then if you're going to have it, who gave you the right? Who gave you the right to add four more words? L'chaper al kol avoy noisenu. That's not part of the Dayenu. Hagufa. The question is the answer. The sum is greater than the parts. Each item in and of itself is an incredible chesed. But when you take all of the chasadim and you put them together, there's a puzzle. It's all coming to accomplish, it's all coming to achieve a greater goal, a greater mission of what? If not for this piyut, you would never imagine. It's lechaper al kol avoy noisenu. If you would not have this idea, you would say that what gives us kapara? What is kapara? Kapara is the Beis HaMikdash, right? I need to think about Yitzias Mitzrayim in order to have Kapara. You can't. Your person does an Avera. I did an Avera. I ate Chalef, Chas HaShalom. Person was in Chal Shabbos. So you come to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. It was an Avera. Here's my carbon. I want Kapara. You're going to Chalom Zach? In order for you to get Kapara, I want you to remember it was a Yitzias Mitzrayim. Hashem killed the firstborns. Hashem gave you Bezos Mitzrayim. Hashem gave you the money of the Midbar. You need all of to contemplate on all of these things in order to come to achieve, to deserve Kapara. You look at me like you're crazy. I'm here's the carbon. I'm in the Beis HaMikdash. This animal represents me. And that's the end. The Pid is telling you that's not the case. That's not the case. In order to achieve Kapara, it's not just the Beis HaMikdash. Kapara means the whole process. What's the proof to this? The proof to this idea is the Haggadah itself. We begin with Arami Oved Avi. What is Arami Oved Avi? Bikurim. What is Bikurim? Bikurim is to give kavod to the Mizbeach. You take the first fruits of Eretz Yisrael, you come, you don't go to the Kohen. That's not the procedure. This is not Truma. Not Truma. Give the first fruits to the Kohen. The Zeroya Lechayim Yakeva. Okay, the gifts, the manas kahuna. Go give it to your local kohen. Don't even go there, it's just wrong. You don't have to go to Yerushalayim. Just give it to the local kohen. Bikurim Hashem says, no, you're going to give it to the kohen, but first you give it to the mizbeach. V'nachtoi lifnei mizbach Hashem Elokecha. That's where the bikurim go. The kohanim only get the first fruits after the mizbeach gets it. People think you give bikurim to the kohen. No, you don't give bikurim to the kohen. You give the bikurim to the mizbeach. And then from the Mizbeach, it goes to the Kohen. What is the Mizbeach? The Mizbeach is the Kapara. It's the Spitz of the Beis HaBechira. It's the place where you bring Karbonos. And what do you do when you come to the Mizbeach? You come to the Mizbeach, you review the history of Klal Yisrael. Mizbeach, Kapara. Ooh, let me tell you about Kapara. Mizbeach, Arami Oyved Avi. Arami, Lavan wanted to kill Yaakov Avinu. We were in Golis. Vayered Mitzroima. Vayogar Shemim Seimaot. Vayotziona Shemim Mitzroim. Beoisos and Moisim and Muhammad of Yerachazaka. Vechulu Vechulu. You go through the entire story of Jewish history of Yeridas Mitzrayim, which I'm sure you can find there all the Dayanus. Maybe you'll have a drush. You'll go and you'll be able to somehow extract from the Arami Oved Avi. You'll be able to extract all the 15 miles. Possibly, I don't know, you'll be able to extract the 50 miles in the story, in the psukim, the four psukim of Arami, the five psukim that we say of Arami, Oved Avi, they're really six psukim with Vahedesi, because the Mizbeach is exactly what the Baal HaGad is teaching us, an incredible Chiddush, is the sum is greater than the parts. When you take all of the little chasadim together, you put them all together, you get Lichaper al kol avayin oisenu, Kapara, and that's teaching you Kapara of the Beis HaMikdash is only after the whole history of Klal Yisrael is taken into consideration with all of the milos, and the proof is Arami Oved Avi. The proof is Bikurim, which goes to the Mizbeach, which also goes through the entire history, and those are the psukim that you say to the Mizbeach. So there's an incredible parallel between Bikurim and Dayenu, and this is called Hamarbe. This is called Marbe. Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim is just the parts, piece by piece. There was this chesed, there was this chesed, there was this chesed, and maybe the sum of all of the chasodim is Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Hamarbe, called Hamarbe liyisaber biyitzias Mitzrayim, harezem mishubach, is when you understand that the sum is greater than the parts. When you understand the concept of lechaper al kol avoynor seinu. Okay, this is one idea. Now, another idea, dayenu, another idea that I found to be very, very fascinating. Yeah?
Is this from Rabbi Shur?
No, this is not from Rabbi Shur. This is not from Rabbi Shur. I saw Rabbi Shur's Sefer, the Rav Avraham Ben, the question that Rav Avraham Ben Harambam asked his father, why don't you list Hadayenu? And there he's, and his father says that's Hamarbe. And then he has another mahal. He has a whole different mahalach, which I didn't mention.
This, when was Dayenu created?
Before the Rambam, obviously. If the fact that the Rambam's son, so it goes back from the very beginning. I mean, I don't know the very beginning. The Rambam is over 1,000 years.
Are we there yet?
Okay. Let's now go to another idea I found very interesting, the Yaivetz. Rav Yaakov Emden, he asks a very good question. Not only he, many people ask the question is, what's the last part of that Dayenu? This is a really good word for Tisha B'Av. It's a very good word for Tisha B'Av. Neither Pesach, you know, there's so many parallels between Tisha B'Av and Lil Seder. The last, Ilu Hichnisan L'Eretzol, V'Loivonu Lonu Es Beis HaBechira. He didn't give us the Beis HaMikdash Dayenu. And now we have the Beis HaMikdash. What is the Beis HaMikdash more than giving us the Mishkan? When it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, and Hashem gave us we don't mention the Mishkan, okay? Why do we mention, we're not listing every chesed. If you want to list every chesed, it's infinite. We're listing very specific things. We're in Eretz Yisrael for 440 years. And now, finally, we have L'shichnoi Sidushu Uvas Hashama. We now have a specific place to build the Beis HaMikdash. Very nice, but it's not very significant because we have a Mishkan. We had the Mishkan in the Midbar for 40 years. It was the Mishkan in Gilgal. And then there was Shiloh. Shiloh was really more of a Mikdash. It wasn't, but it's a hybrid. And then we had Noi V'Givayin. The Mikdash is nothing new. It's an upgrade. It's an upgrade. It's not something brand new. So why did the Baal Haggadah list from the very limited, selected slots of things that we're going to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do we give Hashem one in the Beis HaMikdash? The Beis HaMikdash, in the Chanami, there are a million things we can thank Hashem for, but the Beis HaMikdash is not something new. It's an upgrade from the Mishkan that we already have. And if we're not going to thank Hashem for the Mishkan, so why now thank Hashem for the Beis HaMikdash? There are many things we're not thanking Hashem for. If the Baal HaGadah did not see that it was important to mention Mishkan, so there's no need to mention now the Beis HaBechira. So the Yaivetz says something incredibly, incredible chiddush. I mean, and it also partially answers the Chaper al-Kol Avon Hussein. He answers, says, we have a principle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he gets angry at us, instead of destroying us, he took us a mashkain, Eitzin Avonim. He pours out his anger on the Eitzin Avonim instead of destroying us. That is only true for the Beis HaMikdash. Until 440 years, Klal Yisrael was walking on very thin ice. This is what the Yaivetz says. This is shocking. If Chas V'Shalom Klal Yisrael during those 440 years would have done Averos, that would have angered Hashem, so what would Hashem do? Hashem would say, I have no choice, I have to destroy you. There's nothing I can take as a replacement to express my anger to guarantee your survival. I'll take away your Mishkan, even though there was Churban Shiloh, but even though the Shiloh was Churab, the Aron, there was always some carryover. It wasn't really Churab, it was always just a transition of sorts between the various stages. There's a Mishkan, there is the Gilgal, Shiloh, Noi V'Givayin. Hashem says, by me taking these things away from you, it doesn't make a difference. I'm still going to have to vent and pour out my anger. So you have no insurance. You have literally no life insurance. Klal Yisrael has no survival insurance. When we had a Beis HaMikdash, the mile of the Beis HaMikdash is now what this means, why this is so, I don't know. This is something which has to be understood. The Yaivetz is not explaining the detail, but he's saying an incredible Chiddush. Now there's a Beis HaMikdash. Basically, we're thanking Hashem, Baruch Hashem, I have life insurance. I passed my blood pressure test, the physical. Okay, everything is good, and I've been approved. I now have life insurance. Then in case we do it Averos, so Hashem will pour out His anger on the Beis HaMikdash, and we will still survive. And that's what it means. It's L'chaper al kol avoinoseinu. Not that we can bring a korban, so we can have kapara. Now that we have a Beis HaMikdash, if Hashem is going to get angry at us, so the Mikdash will be the kapara, we'll survive. Isn't that an amazing chiddush? This is what it says in the Yavetz. Now, other Mepharsh don't go so far to say that. They say something. There are 10 nisim that are listed in Pirkei Avos that happened in the Mikdash, did not happen in the Mishkan. Would you believe that? That's not so simple, but that's what someone wants to say. Therefore, there was a giloy, a revelation of nisim in the Mikdash that was beyond the pale, beyond off the charts, which is miyuchet to the Mikdash, not the Mishkan. Other saving karbanas, the par helam davishal tzibur, and the par siri avodis kachavim does not apply in the Mishkan, only applies in the Beis HaMikdash. How do you know that? I don't know. I saw that, he writes that in one of the Haggadahs. I don't really know that, how he gets that, but so there are, those are more technical answers, but what he says really is, it's quite a chiddush. So one last thing, just a cute little remes, is at the end we say, al-achas kama v'kama toivu kulma, what's very bizarre lashon? Al-achas kama v'kama toivu kifulu umichupeles. So the answer is this is the number 15. Why? Achas is 1. Kama is, Lashon Ram is 2. Vichama is also 2. So what's 2 plus 2 plus 1 is 5. Achas is 1. Kama means many. The smallest majority is 2. Vichama, another small majority, another 2. 2 plus 2 plus 1 is 5. Toiva, which is good, I mean, that's an explanation. Kifula, double that 5, make that 5 into 10. Umichupeles, double it again and make it into 15. 5 plus 5 plus 5. So if you ever want to tell the person, if I want you to pick up for me in the store 15 apples, tell him, achas kama v'chama kifula umichupeles. That's a code word for the number 15. That's why it's employed by the Baal HaGaon to refer to the Dayenu, because there are 15 milos in the Dayenu. Correspondingly, they all say to the 15 milos in the Shir HaMalos, the 15 steps, v'chulu, v'chulu. By the way, if you look in some of the good Haggadahs, the Mesifta is very good in this. The Mesifta Haggadah, they have all the Girsois, so every possible Girsois that ever existed, they have there. And some of them, had more. 15, 16, there's not only one version of Dayenu. There are many versions of the Yeni which include more. Okay, another quick idea, so you need to be aware of, is that on Pesach, even though it's a happy holiday and we do a lot of happy things, there's obviously this mar, this bitterness, and v'chulu v'chulu, we also recite kinois. In fact, there are two kinois that we recite in the Haggadah. What are the two kinois? Chol lach ma'anya, di achol 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 avosa be'ara de Mitzrayim. We mention Hashata Hocha Hashata Avdei. The fact that we mention that here we are in Gullus and we are slaves, it is a kina, it is a lamentation, a lament. And that they say that the tradition is, no one knows for sure, that the Nusach of Chol Lach Ma'anya was composed the first year after the Churban Bayis Sheni. The first year after the Churban Bayis Sheni, when they realize we're now going to do a Seder, and we're not going to have a Beis HaMikdash, they compose this Nusach, and that's how far it goes back. So Be'emes, we begin to say there with kinois, like Tisha B'Av. You don't have to wait for the Beitza, the night of Tisha B'Av is the night of the day of the week is going to Tisha B'Av. The first thing we say is what we call a kina, a lament. What else is a kina? A kina? Shefei Chamos, Chalagoyim is also a kina. Shefei Chamos, Asher Lo Yiducha, V'Yal HaMlacha, Asher Lo Yiducha. Selecting these psukim also is a form of a lament. It is a kina. What? Ve'yo hashamu. So this is in the category of a kina. We actually mourn. Pesach is a day of mourning. We recite kinois. On Tisha B'Av, we also sing shira. When do we sing shira? There's one shira we sing. Ilu hotzionu mimitzrayim, b'tzeisi mimitzrayim, b'tzeisi mimushalayim. And many shuls, they sing it. They sing, there's a nigun to sing, b'tzeisi mimitzrayim, which ends with, b'shuvi lirushalayim. What is that doing in Tisha B'Av? A song, you sing, you know, it's a very nice song. People, they sing it, it becomes a very pleasant part of Tisha B'Av, to break up the kinos. That's a shira. Answer is, not all churban is churban. In the churban, we have shiras. In the simcha, we live with Pesach, the Lel Seder. There are kinois. There are kinois also. It's not a perfect world. There's a lot of gray in this world. It's not a world of black and white. On days of simcha, we reflect upon tsar. on days of Tsar, there's also a moment to reflect upon Simcha, Beshuvim, Yerushalayim. It's only that we have on Pesach two kinos. Two kinos, whereas on Tisha B'Av we only have one Shira. Unfortunately, the reality of life is there's always more kinos than there is Shira. At the time, yeah. In hindsight.
You don't really ever know what's good and what's bad until you have 20/20 hindsight looking back at the big picture.
Quite an aside, huh?
Right. Yeah. He says, but he understood.
Okay, next short idea. And this is really not related to the Seder, but we know someone mentioned this yesterday, is that on the second day of Pesach is the anniversary of the Su'udas Esther, the day when Haman, the miracle of Purim unfolded. The miracle of Purim unfolded on the second day of Pesach. That was the time when Achashverosh and Haman were invited to the second party of Esther. When Esther said, when Achashverosh says, Mihu zevi ezehu asher mil oli olas haskein, and Haman responded, Ish tsar v'yev Haman hara hazois, Haman was executed, he was hung, and the Nes of Purim took place on the second day of Pesach. Now, by the way, this fits very well with the Minchas Oimer. We know the Chazal say when Haman came to get Mordechai the day before, he was learning with the kids. The Minochis. He was learning with them. The Minchas Oimer. The Minchas Oimer is offered on the second day of Pesach. So someone, in fact, saw his downfall when Haman came to go get Mordechai. What are you doing? We're learning about the Avodas Hayoyim, the Mitzvahs Hayoyim on your Petira. And you're going to die on your yard side. What's special about your yard side? It's the day of the Minchas Ha'oimer, the Kmitza, small amount of barley that you take in the Kmitza. So that's also. Now there's a remez, very interesting remez, that the second day of Pesach is the day when Haman was put to death. And it's found in the Haftorah of the first day Pesach. The Haftorah of the first day Pesach talks about coming into Eretz Yisrael. And it says that when they came into Eretz Yisrael, the mon came to an end. And the words are, Vayishbois Haman Mimocharos. The mon came to an end on the next day. The mon came to an end on the next day, the day after they came into Eretz Yisrael, the day after... I forgot the context. So you look up the passing, pay attention when you read the Haftorah on the first day, and it's a remez, Al Tikre Haman, Ella Haman. Haman came to an end tomorrow. Remember, Haman will come to an end on the second day of Pesach. Now there are therefore, because that is so, there is a custom to have a special, now the different customs. The most extreme custom, believe it or not, is not to have your Su'uda on the second day Pesach until the very end of the day, to delay the meal. You come back from shul, we're not eating, we're fasting. Hear that? You come back from shul the second day of Yom Tov, there is no Suda. At this moment in time in history, go back, whatever it was, 2,000, 3,000 years, whatever it was, 3,000 years, do you know what was happening right now? Klal Yisrael was in jeopardy. Leich kinois is kol lahashmid laharog ulaabid is kol ayu the minarvi adzaken. Esther was petitioning Achashverosh to annul the decree. At this moment in time, the whole Klal Yisrael was fasting. Well, we're now going to eat now. If you live in the world, a world of reality, you know what happened at this moment in time. Klal Yisrael was on the verge of extinction, like never before and never after. The whole Klal Yisrael. These moments were critical. What's going to happen when Esther appears before Achashverosh to make that request? All the psukim, Eichel Chal V'Reisi, V'chul, all those psukim. You're going to eat now? You crazy? How could you eat? Sit down and say Tehillim. Because, you know, things in time cycles. We revisit Kufais. It's a very dangerous moment. It's kedai for us to reflect upon it, even though we don't fast. It's Yom Tov, you have to eat? Later, when the meal is over. The whole ma'aseh happened in the morning. By the time it was the afternoon, the whole story was over. Everything was okay. We were speared. So we'll have our Suda 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. Not now. Now, sit down, say Tehillim. Learn a Daf Gemara. Do something to improve yourself. This was a custom. It's brought down. This was the common custom Klal Yisrael to do. No one does this today. You'll tell someone this, they'll look at you like you're out of your mind. Like, where'd you hear this? Like, oh, the Klal Midwood. They say crazy things there. They say these strange things. But this was a custom. Now, we don't do that, obviously, but instead what we do is put vakeh, we have a special delicacy. You're supposed to have at the suda on the second day of Yom Tov a special dish that you would ordinarily not have. Even the chasam soif, he used to have tongue. He has to have tongues, special dry tongue. It sounds like salami from what I'm reading. I don't know what we have. But yeah, they had special macholim to commemorate the miracle that happened on the second day of Pesach. And again, it's merumas in the pasuk vayishpois Haman mimacharasai al tikrei Haman elo Haman. Haman came to know on the next day, on the second day of Pesach. Okay, let's go to another idea. And once we talk about the man, let's go to the focus on afikomen. Ein, what do you tell the Chacham? Ein maftirin achar ha-Pesach afikoymen. We all do this. When Pesach, when the Seder is over, you're not allowed to eat. No food. No cheating. No snacks. No midnight snacks. You have to wait until at least Chatzos Pesach, or maybe even wait until the morning. You have the Tam of Pesach has to remain in your mouth until the next day. What's the word? Afikoymen. Afikoymen means take now, and so it simply means the afikoman, the matzah weed is called the afikoman, it's dessert. The word afikoman literally means dessert. It comes from the two words, a composite of two words, afikuman, bring out the delicious food, bring out or the utensils, the moneh, which have within it desserts. Roll out the Viennese table. That's really what afikoman. Afikuman, roll out the Viennese table. Well, tonight at the Seder, the matzah is the Viennese table. That is the month. Here's a drush, beautiful drush. I saw this thing of a shur. I don't know if it's his or he says somewhere else. Beautiful drush. He says, man also means the man, right? The man. The man means Hashem. Hashem gave us in the midbar. Where is the man stored for all generations? In the Kodesh HaKodashim. Hashem said to Moshe, tell Aaron, kach tzinsen esachas, v'sen shon man, v'hoyel l'mishmeres l'dayroi seichem. Says it actually three times, and the Shmeres three times. And there's whole elaborations. There's like a whole arichus. If you say the parashah every single day, the whole elaboration, Hashem demands to take a small portion of man, put it in a jar, put it in the Kodesh HaKodashim. It should be a zecher. In time of Yirmiyah, people complain, you want us to sit and learn? Koilo, what's with me, Parnasa? Yirmiyah said, take a risk. Have a muna. Have a muna, Kadosh Baruch Hu, and learn, and don't worry, Hashem will provide parnasa. And Yirmiyah went, he took the mon out of the Kodesh HaKodashim to remind them, this is exactly what Hashem said to Aaron, Moshe to Aaron, kach tzinsen achachas. So that means that in times in life, we need chizuk. We live in the generation of chizuk. That is the code word for this generation. Chizuk, because everyone is depressed, everyone has problems. We need chizuk. Everyone is running around to shiurim. Yeah, absolutely. More than any other generation.
We have it easier financially.
We don't. Yeah, we think so. Maybe Hashem gave us all of these things in order to keep us sane, in order to go through. But people today, it's probably because we have all of these things. We're even more crazy. That's not true. That's right. You have free time. So what do you think you have to work? You're so busy. Was it work? You don't have time to think about these things. You're right. There are a lot of things which contribute. But I'm not saying this. Everyone is saying this. People walk around with daigas. People are consumed with daigas. And they say, why now more than ever? It's easier than ever. The government will take care of you, right? If you're really in trouble, well, you'll find a way somehow. Somehow you'll survive. Yet people need chizuk. How do you have chizuk? You have to go to a shir. You have to have visual presentations. The goal of Pesach is ein maftirin achar ha-Pesach. When you finish the Pesach, you should not need to come on to the ultimate chizuk. Afikuman. Yirmiyah was mechazek klal Yisrael by going into the Kodesh HaKodashim and taking out the man, afiku man, he took the man out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he showed Klal Yisrael, look, I have proof. Hashem sustained a nation of 3 million people for 40 years. Here's the proof. You need more chizik than this? What are you all depressed about? What are you worried about? Hashem will take care of you. You don't believe me? I have proof. I'll go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, I'll take the Tzenes Achas, which full of mon, I'm going to show you. Okay, that's a very powerful chizuk, because it's actual proof. It's real proof that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take care of you even in your greatest time of difficulty. But it's even a bigger madrega if you wouldn't need to go to the shir. If you wouldn't need Yirmiyah to come knock on your door with a therapist and a psychologist, the doctor, to be mechazik you, if you on your own have enough emunah to recognize, I'm okay. I don't need to go and see the video of the man. I'm okay. I don't need the medicine. I don't need the psychologist. I have emunah. My emunah takes care of me. The goal of Pesach is you should be so strong you don't need chizuk. Ein maftirin achar ha-Pesach. You tell the Chacham, you tell everyone, you don't conclude with Pesach being over with, I need chizuk. The code word for chizuk is afikoyman, which is afikuman. Take the man out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim as a reminder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of you. I don't need reminders. I know it. I know it myself. I feel it. I sense it. I'm a believer. I'm okay. Powerful idea. This is a very powerful idea of what the goal, what the perspective of Pesach should be to reach such a madrega. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let's just talk a little about the concept of Sfiras Omer. The second end of Pesach, we recite Sfiras Omer. This is a sheer in and of itself. Remember last year we spoke about this. When do you recite Sfiras Omer? Before the Seder or after the Seder? It's major controversy.
What are you doing in shul?
So today, 99% of Klal Yisrael does it in shul. The battle has been lost. The battle has been lost. You do it in shul, right? You finish Marv, you make the bracha. But look at the Haggadah. In the Haggadah, every Haggadah has Sfiras Omer.
Not anymore.
No, not anymore? Really? You don't have it? Okay, so those Haggadahs that have Sfiras Omer, let's look at the Sfiras Omer here. They have it here. He has after Shir. He has the after Shir Ashurim, he has Sfiras Omer. Moses has Sfiras Omer, they have Haggadah, they have it at the very, very end. Why? One in the beginning, and Shul, you do it in Shul. So this is a big controversy. Should you do before? What are the svaris? It's tarate desastre. If you're going to say Sfiras Omer before you begin the Haggadah, you've blown it. If you're saying that today is the first thing in the Omer, you just made a statement with Shemu Malchus. Okay, it doesn't get worse than that. It's not just, oh, today is the 16th day of Nisan. I'm telling you, and I'll prove it to you, I'm willing to say Hashem's name on it. Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvah Sven Al Sfiras Omer Hayoyim Yoyim Echoy B'Omer. Wow! You just made a very powerful statement that today is the 16th day of the Omer, of Nisan, which means today is the first day Chol HaMoed. So what in the world are you doing drinking 4 cups of wine and making bracha levatala, 4 cups of wine, and eating marar, and eating charesis and chazeres? This is not good for your health. What are you doing to say there? So therefore, it would really be ideal to make the bracha of Omer after the Haggadah. Why don't we do that? Number one, chaviva mitzvah b'shaita, tamimais. Tamimais means you want to count the day as soon as it begins. The moment the night begins, don't lose out. You have to make the bracha count, especially the first. The first day is the most important. Number two, the svira is only midrabanan. Chaviv is a b'shait. That's really the main argument. Chaviv is a b'shaita. You need to get the rice or the rabbanon, the other issues. But these are the two conflicting. You'll forget if you're going to wait until the end of the seder. By that time, you'll fall asleep. You'll forget and you'll blow it already on the first night. So you don't need to forget. So you do it right away. So this is a very big debate. It goes back for a long, long time. Should you say sfir in shul? Should you say sfir when the Haggadah seder is over? It could be there are some people that in shul plead the fifth. Okay, the Baal Tzivos says Sfira, and they don't count Sfira. They don't count. They hold that you say Sfir when the Seder is over. Besides, sometimes it's not yet the Zman. They're waiting until Zman passes.
Before Halal, after Halal.
What?
Before Halal, after Halal, I'm sure.
Before the Sfira? Well, it depends when you say Halal. I think it's basically before, I don't know the answer. I don't know. Halal itself, when you say Halal, different than Minagim. So you say Halal, those who say Halal before Kadesh to Skabel, L'chari, you say Sfira after Halal. After Shemona Esra, you say Halal, and then you do Sfira. Do you do the Sfira before Kadesh to Skabel? They're different Minhagim. Some do it after Kadesh to Skabel, before Aleinu. So it's going to be Halal, Kadesh to Skabel, Sfira, and then Aleinu. But not every shul does it like that. Some shuls, they play around, they have all different Minhagim. Okay, let's go further. Another idea, quick idea, this interesting idea. We all know that you're not allowed to eat matzah Erev Pesach. And by extension, L'chadchila, you're not supposed to eat matzah the entire Chodesh Nisan. Why not? It should be eaten with te'avon. It should be eaten with an appetite. If you go and eat, especially shmur matzah, okay, shmur matzah, you don't eat the matzah, you're going to eat for the Seder, you're not supposed to eat that matzah the entire Chodesh Nisan. What about eating it, a regular matzah? The Olam, everyone eats regular matzah. Why? I don't know, why are we so mekel? Why are we so mekel to eat regular matzah Chodesh Nisan? I don't know, we do, right? You go to Shal Shuris, do you ever see Shal, you don't need matzah? Or even a Suda, regular, you know, what's the difference? I don't know. You know, the whole year round, you don't need matzah. But some people, I prefer many times to eat matzah, you know, from the box, machine matzah the whole year round, instead of having a regular chalas. It depends on my mood, whatever it is. So you're not supposed to do this the whole Chodesh Nisan? I never heard it. Maybe during the week, I don't know. But we definitely don't eat your shmur matzah, that you're going to even say that you delay until the night of Pesach. What about maror? Are you allowed to eat maror, lettuce, romaine lettuce, horseradish, whatever you can eat, are you allowed to eat it the whole Chodesh Nisan for sure? What about Erev Pesach? So it says in the Mechaber, believe it or not, you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to eat the maror and the charoses Erev Pesach. In order that you eat the maror and the charoses at night, b'tei avon, with appetite. The Mishnah Berura says, I don't know where in the world the Mechaber got this from. Matzah is a chazal. Maror, gesunte hate. You like romaine lettuce? Eat it all you want. Night to night is the Pesach. So you'll eat maror and nachum l'shem mitzvah. What's the big deal? I believe there's a very powerful musar, a very powerful limud musar in the Mishnah Berura. There's no such thing as maror b'tei avon. There's no such thing. It's bad enough you have to have maror b'tei avon. That's really what the Mishnah Berura is challenging the Mechaber. Where are you getting this from? Mitzad echad, it's a mitzvah. Ah, a mitzvah, you do b'tei avon. But when you delve deeper into the Tameh HaMitzvah, there's no such thing.
Maybe because he had lettuce and he had real kibur and so not, you know, he ate the horse
guy. Okay, now to prove to this idea is look at the Seder. Call me Shloyama Shloysha Dvarm Elu B'Pesach L'Yotzi Dechavosei Pesach Matzo Mora. Why? The whole Seder is about Seder. Right? The whole Seder is Seder. So you should be very precise in Pesach, Matzah, Moror. What came first? First came Pesach. Wait, what came first? Moror came first. Vayimoris Chayayim. The Avod and the Inayoysam. Moror came first. Then came, maybe you can say Matzah. They ate, it was Matzah, slave food. Okay, you don't want to say Matzah. Pesach. And then when they left, Kibbe Behilu Yatzos, then came Matzah. So it should be Moror, Pesach, Matzah. If the Seder is all about Seder, and now Rabbi Yosef really is ruining everything for us, I'm putting everything in the wrong order, so my high. So this is a very basic question. Everyone asks this question. Seder is Seder. So Hagufa, that's part of what he's teaching us. Kol Mishloi Amma doesn't mean you don't say these things. Kol Mishloi Amma means in this order. In life, you got to have the right perspective. In life, you don't focus on bitterness. You don't focus on bitterness. Like we just said, you don't eat maror b'tei avon. If maror, even though chronologically maror came first, that's not the way you reflect. That's not the way you commemorate. You don't commemorate the maror. When you commemorate the good times. Pesach, matzah, and then you go back and you reflect upon the maror. It's a very powerful lesson. When you talk about Holocaust. So what's the focus? The focus is the skeletons. The focus is the crematoria? Is the focus all the tsaris and the chorban? No. The focus is the heroism. The focus is the mesiras nefesh. That's the ikar. That emuna. Emuna. And now we'll spend the next 20 hours also learning the horrors of the Holocaust. Whenever you focus on something, there's a Seder. The Seder is always Pesach, Matzah, Mara. The fact we're here to talk about it means, even the Holocaust, there's Pesach and Matzah. Then we'll spend the next 5 years talking about the Mara of the Holocaust. Yeah.
They said from the photos itself, they asked, why don't you find that you have to have 10 people for a Seder?
Good question, yeah.
If you have 10 Yidden, there's always Seder.
Ooh. You like that? That's your line. 10 people, there's no Seder. You finished. Very good, very, very good. Okay. Let's move along to the next idea. Okay, this is just a ha'ara. Okay, this is not a complete idea. This is something to think about. The Haggadah we emphasize over and over, Ani v'loy malach, Ani v'loy shliach, Ani hu v'loy acher. It's part of the Haggadah, central part of the Haggadah. Let's make no mistake about this. It is Ribbono shel Olam who's calling the shots. Hashem, and not the Malach, not the Mashkis, not anyone else. Moshe is not even mentioned. Only Hashem, Hashem, Hashem. Why is there such an emphasis? Why is the Baal HaGadah go way, way over the top, way overboard, emphasizing it's the Ribbono shel Olam and no one else but HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The answer is because this is not the first time Hashem destroyed a civilization. Hashem destroyed Sidon. Hashem destroyed Sidon. Who knows? We have mamish no record what existed in Stump. All we know, there could have been a billion people there. Who knows? Well, who knows? In India, how many people have in India? How many people are in India living in India today? Billions of people? Who knows what went on in Stump? We have no clue. We have no clue. Who knows the technology they had? Who knows? For all we know, they had better smartphones than we had in Sidon. We don't know the technology, the creativity, the things that existed in Sodom. It was obliterated off the face of the earth with absolutely no zecher whatsoever. Okay, and it's a mystery. It's a big mystery what took place in Sodom. There are things, say, in modern world where there are mysteries. We don't know how certain things were built, were done. They had technology, ideas that baffled the greatest minds of this generation. So Sodom was not a single society, Sodom. Okay, so who knows what went on in Sodom? Gone. Who destroyed Sodom? Hashem said. Hashem. Yet who took credit for it? Who took credit for the Churban of Sodom? Mashchisim Anachnu. What's the whole pasuk?
Yeah, ki mashchisim
Anachnu. Anachnu. The Malachim, we're taking credit. It's on our record. And because they said this, they were punished. What was the punishment?
They had to stay on earth for 130 years.
They were punished. The Malachim, the Chazal, they were punished.
Well, that's what the Targum Yonison says, that when it says that Yaakov had a dream, why does it say Olim v'Yordim Bo? It should say Yordim v'Olim. Because these were the Malachim that were relegated to live on earth because of that. State.
Because of that, because of their chait.
Free to go back.
The Mashchisim, in this world, we don't see Malachim, but there are causes. Politics. This quarreling, bickering. There are a lot of mashkisim in this room. When a society goes down today, let's say you have in the third world countries, you have certain countries that are mamish imploding. They're mamish imploding. Why are they imploding? Why is the government, why are they going bankrupt? Why are they imploding? Every so often in the news you hear about countries that are going through a major economic crisis. Why? Oh, it'll be a great course, a political science course. We'll bring in a professor called Darshan from today. For the next 5 years, darshaning where this country went wrong, what caused them to implode, what were their mistakes in their economy. There are a lot of mashchisim. Are you going to say it was the Ribbono shel Olam? No. Ribbono shel Olam is not involved. He's not involved. Sodom was destroyed. You know what? In society, in the world, it was a very complicated world then also. There was the UN. No one said, when the Chazal said, ki mashchisim anachnu, it doesn't just mean to a malachim who said, ki mashchisim anachnu. You know what it means? It means that in public school, when they taught the children that Sodom was destroyed, it was because global warming, it was because of some crazy, crazy excuse. Whatever it was some crazy thing, an accident, an engineering accident, nuclear, there was some mistake they made in their plants, in their technology. An iPhone was responsible for the whole destruction of Sodom. Ki mashchisim anachnu. They didn't blame the Ribbono shel Olam. He was not the one that got credit for the Churban of Sodom. It's a Beferish Pasuk. Hashem says, we're not going to let this happen again when I destroy Mitzrayim. When Mitzrayim is destroyed, they come to an end. Let's make it clear as day here. This is an emphasis that we're going to focus on the Haggadah. Mitzrayim is going to be obliterated. Ani v'loi malach. Ani v'loi, I don't remember all the words of the Haggadah. It is Hashem. Ani hu v'loi acher. Ani hu v'loi acher. It's only Hashem. There's no one else but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't make the same mistake. There's an important contrast to be made between Mitzrayim and Sidon. It comes out in looking at the two parallels, Mashkisim Anachnu, versus the emphasis of Ani hu v'loi acher. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let's pick something out over here. Okay, Karpas, a short idea. I saw this in Rabbi Shur's. I got it, it's not from him. Karpas, I'm not into gematrias, but this one I really like. Karpas is gematria Shas. Shas, 360. Is that correct? Karpas is gematria Shas. Party of Shach's party in Eretz Yisrael, right? I mean, Radios' party, Shas. What do you do with the Karpas? You dip it in salt water. Why? Shas represents Shisha Siddur Torah. You learn Torah, Shas. The Derech of Torah is Mayim b'misura Yishter impas b'melach. If you want to conquer Shas, you want to be a Talmud Chacham, this Chinuch HaBanim, when you teach children something, what do you teach? The first thing of the Seid, by the way, is Karpas. That's mamash the beginning. Because Kish anyway make. Right? Kish anyway make. All of a sudden, you Karpas. You take the Karpas, you dip it in the salt water, you teach the children, listen, I'm going to give you Gafi Koyman tonight. I'm going to give you tonight the latest gadget. I'll give you a spoiled rotten. But you should know something. If you really want to be a Talmud Chacham, it doesn't come with the Afi Koymans. Being a Talmud Chacham comes, Mayim b'misura yishte. You drink water, measured water. Pass bread, b'melach, you dip it in salt. What's water and salt? Salt water. Karpas, shas, success in Torah, only comes from prishos, from sifugim, from accepting upon, recognizing that light, taking upon yourself to limit your enjoyment of this world. This one. Okay, another idea. Now, I think this idea, I saw this idea. Where did I see this idea? I saw this in Haggadah, I don't remember. I think it's a very simple idea, but I think it's very, very profound what it says. Question. We asked this question yesterday. Short idea. Why don't we make a bracha on Karpas? Asher, we should make Karpas with a takon of Chazal. We should say, Asher, kiddushonu b'mitzvah sevitzvanu alachilas Karpas. Isn't that fear game? You make a bracha on alachilas morar, you make a bracha on alachilas matzah. We had a discussion, why you make a bracha on charoses? It's not so simple, you make a bracha on charoses, but why you make a bracha on karpas? So the answer is as follows. Why do we eat karpas? What's the main reason we eat karpas? Kidei sheyishalu hatinaikas. We want the children to ask questions. Ma nishana halayla zemikol halaylas. If a child watches a parent take vegetables and dip the vegetables in salt water, and make a bracha, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu al achilas karpas. You can guarantee yourself the child will not ask a question. He'll say, oh, tonight's a holiday. On a holiday, we do strange things, and we have something called karpas, and you make a special bracha. If you want the child to ask the question, behave normally. Take a vegetable. What bracha do you make on a vegetable? You make a adama. Do you dip a vegetable? Yeah, you dip a vegetable. But the only thing is, not now. We dip the vegetables later in the meal, after we eat bread. Now is not the time to dip the vegetable in the salt water. We should wait until we first wash. So Father, why are you dipping the vegetable in the salt water now? The child is only going to ask this question if you're going to make the regular bracha, boirei pri ha'adama. If you make a bizarre bracha, this is child psychology. This is amazing child psychology. You make a bizarre bracha of karpas, the child right away in his mind says, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense. I don't know why he's dipping a vegetable in salt water before we washed. This is crazy. I'm going to ask my father, but I see he's not in his right mind because he made this strange bracha of achilas karpas. Okay, I don't know what he's doing, I don't know what he's saying, this is not for me, let me just sit back and enjoy the entertainment. But when the father behaves in a normal way, I'm eating vegetables, I'm making a bracha. Boirei pri ha'adama. That's what you normally do. I'm dipping my own. The only thing is, it's out of order. It's out of seder. That provokes the curiosity of the child. What's the Musar Haskel? The Musar Haskel is, when you want to teach children, you want to mechanech children, the way to the ultimate technique of mechanech children is being normal, is following the normal seder. When you do things that are bizarre, that are out of the box, that doesn't help chinuch. That doesn't impress upon them what you're supposed to do. Adarabba, they just stand back. That's why there is no special bracha for karpas. Because if you're going to make the special bracha for karpas, you're going to defeat the whole reason why we do karpas. The only reason why we do karpas, the primary reason is kidei shishalu hatinoikos. So you have to enter into their world. To enter into their world, behave like a normal person, make a normal bracha. Behave. And just do something very slightly out of the ordinary. The seder is out of the ordinary. That will provoke the curiosity. But when you're going to behave in a bizarre, crazy way, and do and make brachas that have no relation, the child has no understanding of these brachas, the child's going to cut himself off from what's going on. He's not going to ask. He's going to say, this is not my world. I don't want to know. I don't know what's going on over here. I'm not going to ask any questions. This itself is a technique. It is a lesson in chinuch habanim to behave in a normal way. Okay, let me just quickly let's finish up with one more quick thing. Let's see if we have something over here. Good. Let me see what we have here. Okay, one more thing. Okay, one quick idea. What can you say? Matzah, what is absent in matzah? What is the difference between matzah and chametz? Time. That's the only difference. If you let the matzah sit and wait a couple of minutes, 18 minutes, it rises, it turns into a fluffy bread. If you don't let it sit, you put it in the oven immediately, then it's matzah. Last week in Parashas Vayikra, we learned that every mincha must be made from matzah. Lo se'ofeh chametz, chol sorv chol dvash. Yeast and chametz may not be part of any carbon. However, the pasuk goes on to say, "Rachis." There is one time when you do bring a carbon off of matzah, of chametz, rachis. Whenever you bring the first to Hashem, and what is rachis? The shtei halechem. The shtei halechem is the first grain of the new year that's offered in the Beis Hamikdash. The shtei halechem on Shavuos is made from chametz. Every other mincha in the Torah, b'li yotzei min haklal, except for what accompanies the lachmei toida, is always matzah. But the Torah says, don't you dare ever bring me a mincha that's made from chametz. It must be made from matzah, with the exception of if it's a korban reishis. Korban reishis! Like the shtei halechem, the first time you're going to offer the new wheat of this year, then it can be made from chametz, the shtei halechem. So what's going on over here? What is matzah? Matzah is reishis. Hachodesh hazeh lochem roish chadashim. Rishon hu lochem l'chodshei hashana. We bring the carbon Pesach. It's the beginning of our history. Al matzah is umirorim yochluha. We eat the matzah to accompany the carbon Pesach. There is no greater reishis then matzah. Matzah accompanies the Karm Pesach, which is rachis. So look at the contrast. There's a rachis that must be made from chametz, and there's a rachis that's only made from matzah. What's the difference? The difference is, look at the words very careful. There's a rachis lochem, and there's a rachis lahashem. The lachmei toida is, I don't have the chumash in front of me, it's lahashem. It is a mincha, a gift you bring to Hashem. Matzah is lochem. Okay, the words that rishon hu lochem l'chadshe hashana. Everything about matzah is for us to remember. What is the difference? What is the difference between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What is ki bitzelem elokim asa es ha'adam? Man is created in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, more or less. But there's one fundamental difference that HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands that we never forget. And that is time. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has all the time in the world. Hoya, hoyve v'yye. Us? Very limited. Kachaloim ya'of. Life is like the blink of an eye. We're very limited in time. when we bring a mincha, that's where we express the difference. The matzah that we eat is not just isolated. It's a racious in contrast to Hashem's racious. When we bring a reish la Hashem, it's a racious for Hashem in contrast to our racious. What's the difference? Zman. Matzah, there's no zman. Chametz, it's all the zman you want. A reishis la Hashem, we acknowledge to you Hashem is time. Time is unlimited by you. Us, when we eat our reishis, we have no time in this world. Our time is finite. It's limited. Therefore, there's an absence of zman. All right, with this we'll go to conclude with Shem tomorrow. We'll pick up. Tomorrow, regular shiur. Regular shiur tomorrow. No, nothing.